Welcome to Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast. I'm your host, Tyson.
And I'm your host, Porter.
And we'd like to welcome you back for yet another episode. Today, we're going to be breaking down the newest episode released on the Creature Commandos show, episode 6. I believe that leaves us with one more?
Yeah, one more episode.
Yeah, so initial thoughts, Porter, break it down for me.
Yeah, so being the penultimate episode, they have put all the characters apart and they've given them their own lessons to learn before they come back together at the very end for the big finale. That's going to be the last episode. We got a backstory on Dr. Phosphorus, which was very exciting, and we definitely were right in thinking he'd be next, and I'm glad. It was really good. A lot of exciting stuff. Rick Flagg Sr. is not going to get Frankenstein back to life. He just goes to a normal hospital, which is pretty interesting, and it looks like it's building up to a very big finale episode. What are your initial thoughts?
Oh, entirely. I couldn't agree more that the finale is looking to be epic. I like that they toyed around with them kind of failing at their mission to kill the princess at first, and that, like, most of this episode was, right, the commandos running around Pokalistan, just trying to survive as the guards were, like, hunting them down. And I thought it was interesting that it was kind of like an immediate failure for their mission, but they all, like, teamed up, or I guess got back together in the end, and they're, like, at full force, and they're going to storm the castle, quite literally. What I loved about this episode was kind of the different ways that they all handled their individual adversities as they were trying to just, like, make it through kind of this onslaught of guards searching the city for them. Oh my gosh, I feel like we got such an insight into Dr. Phosphorus's life and his humanity. He seems like he just came from such a wholesome place.
Yeah, Dr. Phosphorus's story was nuts. I mean, at the very beginning, I was like, man, this kind of looks like Gotham, but they didn't, like, say anything about it, right? And then, lo and behold, they did a quick silhouette of Batman being the one taking him in, which was super awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah, his story reminded me a bit of Dr. Manhattan as far as how he becomes Dr. Phosphorus from Watchmen.
Totally.
And just kind of that, like, locked in a nuclear reactor, and he's obviously, he doesn't have the same powers as Dr. Manhattan, but his total just tragedy of a story with him getting in with Rupert Thorne and them finding out about him lying and just making his life terrible by first murdering his family, and then they proceed to think they murder him with his own creation, and he definitely got his revenge. What were your thoughts on that tonal change for his character?
I thought it was fantastic, because as I've said in previous episodes, I believe he was perhaps, like, the least humane of the monsters, where he just seemed to, like, care so little about killing people. And maybe it was just built up or accentuated by the fact that, like, his powers, like, lead to the most grotesque deaths, right? Like, it's not a bolt in somebody's head, or, like, honestly, even, like, brute force like Frankenstein or the bride used seems like humane compared to just, it's just, yeah, melting through people's faces, really.
Oh yeah, I think that burning is just, yes, most people, like, terrible ways to die. A lot of them say, like, being burned alive.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I think, yeah, if it comes to being drowned or burned alive, you would have to pick drowning, hands down, right? Like, that just sounds so awful,
right?
Yeah, it was almost surprising to see him as, like, a family man, like, really loved his wife, had a daughter that he adored. Like, it led to, like, a very wholesome moment with this Pokalistani girl, where they were able to kind of have, he maybe was able to have, like, a semblance of what used to be in his old life. And you could see that he isn't entirely, like, the man he used to be isn't gone, per se, right? He still, like, has a heart. He's still wholesome to an extent, even if he is a monster on this crew, even if he is willing to kill just because he's told to. as soon as I saw him getting thrown into the reactor, we all knew that's when he was going to get his powers. And we could all feel that immediately after this was going to lead to just a montage of him just annihilating the mob in the most gruesome ways possible. And I was right. That was a pretty gruesome sequence. What did you think of that whole arc?
Yeah, I was surprised that he... Like, I knew he would get his revenge, right? I was like, that seems in character. Like, you have nothing left to lose. I was a little surprised by him, like, kind of taking over as the crime lord. Like, I think it works, right? I mean, if you have nothing to lose, and, like, in a way, the biggest revenge would be to take over everything that they loved.
Totally.
You know, which was their, like, crime business. But it was quite a fun montage, and I think that the way they cut between the dancing and then the different crimes they would commit,
yeah,
that was all just very fun to watch, and I think that worked really well with the animation.
Oh, totally. Well, and once again, I mean, they murdered it on the soundtrack. I feel like it has, like, hit every beat, and it's fun to watch. It meshes so well. But you bring up a good point that it is interesting in a significantly, like, smaller amount of time, he did kind of have that Walter White arc from, like, Family Man to mob boss, right? And you're just like, how on earth?
Totally.
I didn't even catch that, because it seemed like a natural conclusion, right? That now he's a villain. But I feel like, yeah, you wouldn't change him one night. But I guess it makes complete cerebral sense now that he's a mob boss and he's committing all these crimes, selling drugs, doing what he does. And that's when the Batman comes in. And likely how he gets thrown into prison and ends up on this gang.
Thing about montages is they are a great way to show passage of time, but sometimes it is hard to remember that there was a passage of time. So, like, maybe to us, we're like, oh, that seemed really quick, but who knows how much time could have passed. But
you're right. You're totally right.
I think
right.
It worked really well. As far as the other characters, Weasel didn't have very much. He was just kind of like, oh, I remember when the princess played fetch with me. And he goes... And then you have the bride and Luna, who end up in a brothel, and they end up protecting everyone there from these metahumans that were planning on killing them all. So I think it was kind of cool to see them kind of work together, and Luna have some standing up for herself and standing up to the bully and the terrible men. It was kind of cool. And then to have the bride back her up and just end up murdering them and getting rid of the problem permanently. Like, Luna definitely has that the most heart in this team. Like, she's the most wholesome.
Totally. But
what were your thoughts on, like, the other storylines happening?
Yeah, you're right, where, like, Weasel, there wasn't maybe much of an arc there, but honestly, I really liked his reaction to being cornered by the wolves. I feel like that just, like, kind of, like, completely sealed, like, that he is almost just like an unassuming creature.
Yeah.
He didn't even have, like, that really typical fight or flight response that maybe, like, a caged animal or just a human would. Like, he was playful with, like, a bunch of predators, like, cornering him. I think, yeah, that's how he could have been playful with the children. That's how he can, like, maintain this creature-like quality but still be, like, so wholesome to an extent. I don't know. I just love how they've kind of played into his character when he really was just funny in the Suicide Squads, just the fact that he existed.
Right.
And yeah, having Nina and the bride working together was really cool. In the brothel, kind of an interesting commentary on, like, the different ways that they, as the headmistress brothel lady, I'm not sure what you would call that, brought up, right, that they all use their bodies in different ways to, I guess, change their world around them. Like, the girls, right, for sex to get a better life, and these others for murder to do what they're ordered to do. I feel like it was very almost satisfying, that fight scene with the other metahumans when they were defending the girl. And I don't know, there's something about these superhero movies where they just have such an unlikable brute being put in their place. Very cathartic, I would say. I love that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's like the, you hear about the whole save the cat writing trick, right? Where it's like, as someone, if they save a cat in a movie or a TV show, then the audience will usually like them almost automatically because they saved a cat.
Yeah.
This is kind of like the invert of that, where it's the audience still likes them, but it's because they defeated an evil rather than destroyed a cat. So it's kind of an interesting writing thing that it can be cliche, but it works for a reason, right? There's a reason so many people do it.
Oh, precisely. And it works well for somebody as tough in the exterior as the bride, that you can see, right? There is love, compassion, humanity under that shell that she holds out. And it's kind of fun to see that little teasing that Nina gives her as they're walking out of the brothel, where she's like, oh, you softy, after she just murdered two men.
Yeah, it was so good. Their relationship is fun. I hope it continues. And especially if they do like a second season, it'd be cool if they continue that, assuming they both survive the season, right?
Oh, totally. So with Rick Flagg in the hospital, do you think his recovery will be quick enough? Do you think he'll just be in the hospital bed and barely able to give them information so they're able to support or halt whatever's happening at the castle? Do you have any, like, maybe just ideas where this could be heading?
Yeah, my initial thought was, because the time frame is so tight and there's a lot of stakes happening all at once, I think that they will have Rick Flagg come to just enough to be like, it's a lie, like the professor was Clayface, but then like pass out again. And that just like barely enough information for Amanda Waller to be like, crap, we messed up, like call it off. And I think that'll play into the finale. I don't think he'll get a full recovery by the end. But did you have any thoughts on Rick Flagg's purpose for the rest of the show?
Yeah, I agree with you, where they probably won't do much physically as they have in the beginning. I'm honestly just surprised that they put him in the hospital at like a barely above life state at all.
Right.
I'm grateful, right, that Frankenstein maybe had the wherewithal to get him there, even though he immediately left to head to Pakistan.
Yeah.
in his very brutish way, murdering people on a private jet and forcing the pilots to take him there.
Seriously,
yeah. But Rick Flagg will probably just play a lesser role at this point. It seems likely, right, that he will make a recovery of sorts to the extent that maybe Peacemaker can remain in a chronological order to this, and that he can play maybe a bigger role in the future. But oh my gosh, that Batman kind of recovery where he is like literally just broken down to like his most mortal state of just such a badass, like so good at like kicking people's butt, but like finally something has like broken him. Bane for Batman and Clayface for Rick Flagg.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious if there'll be a bit of an arc where he struggles with being like less useful, right? Like he's used to kind of being the guy in charge, and you can see when he's removed from being in charge in those earlier episodes, he takes charge, right? Like he finds out what's going up with this Themyscira professor and like tries to like make a difference. So it might be tough for him to handle being bedridden.
Definitely. He seems like the kind of guy that has to be doing something to feel of worth. Yeah, it'll be exciting to see what happens next week for the finale. It's going to be very fun, very excited to talk about it and watch it. So there's some news that came out that the Batman Part 2, directed and written by Matt Reeves, has been delayed an entire year.
Oh!
So yeah, they are delaying it. They're replacing the movie's release date with a Tom Cruise movie, I believe. So that'll be a good movie, I'm sure. But people seem to be pretty bummed about the Batman 2 delay. And I understand. James Gunn came out in a statement saying that something along the lines of, you can't put a time frame on the writing process. Like, there's no way to know how much longer it'll be, but they want to make sure that they have the story down before they commit to filming anything. Do you have any thoughts surrounding this delay?
You know, I respect him being verbal about that, and I do side with him to an extent when it comes to that. It is difficult to put a price on or a timeline on how these things go. I mean, I'm sure as you've learned and I have, like just dipping our toes into the film industry, there's a lot that goes into this kind of stuff. So I can understand why fans are upset. I'm disappointed right now hearing this. I most definitely been looking forward to this. But honestly, with my opinion that they knocked it out of the park with the last one, I'm grateful that they're just taking their time, looking to do this right, and not rushing anything just because they're desperate to get something out. I mean, we've seen how that goes, right? Like, Star Wars A Christmas Special exists.
Yeah, it's... right. Yeah.
I respect him for making that decision. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts, any insights on that?
Yeah, I definitely think it's the right decision. If they really don't have the script ready, I think it's the right call to delay it. I'm glad that they can delay it. I'm sure there are stories of movies that they don't have the script down, but they're like, we have to make it.
Yeah.
And they just go with what they got, and it ends up not turning out well. I know that a couple months ago, James Gunn has said that like one of the biggest things he's going to change about the studio is he's going to make sure that all of the movies kind of follow how he makes them, where they make sure that the script is 100% good to go. The director, producers, the writers, the actors, they all feel really good about it. And they move forward with that. And that gives them a really strong base. That way they have to do almost no reshoots.
Yeah.
And that allows for more time for VFX artists to do what they need to do if they know exactly what's going to happen and be shot. I mean, the Superman movie, I think it had like a total of like 2 days of pickup shots, which is like...
wow.
We're talking landscapes. You know what I mean? Like, it's like...
yeah, I mean, that's
establishing shots.
Unheard of with a blockbuster movie like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, reshoots don't always mean a bad thing, but not having reshoots is kind of like, okay, they're pretty confident. So it makes sense that they would choose to delay it if they're going by his way of filmmaking, which is we make sure that it's completely good to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, truthfully, I wasn't aware that that was kind of his process, but I respect that immensely, making sure everybody's on the same page and feels good about it. I feel like that like sets them up most for success in pre-production. I can't imagine anything making like production go better. And then right, once again, just making post-production as easy as possible because they know it's mostly set in stone at this point and everybody's going to be happy with like where you're taking it. So... honestly, yeah, that's an even better reason for a Batman delay.
Definitely. So, last bit of news before we move forward. Another big thing that's been circulating around is it has been announced that Jason Momoa is coming back to the DCU as Lobo.
What? Oh my God.
It's crazy. And if people aren't like super familiar with who Lobo is as a character, I would highly recommend the animated movie on Max called Superman, Man of Tomorrow. Came out a couple years ago, and Lobo is a big character in it. It's a great introduction to him. But he's essentially like DC's version of Deadpool as far as the anti-hero-ness of it goes. But yeah, I think Jason Momoa fits it really well. I think he's great. I think that role fits him really well with some of the roles he's been taking lately, like the Fast and Furious ones. It's kind of like he's a little bit crazier. It's like, okay, Lobo, I can see that now. But what are your thoughts on Jason Momoa being back?
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I was most devastated about them resetting the DC Universe because I knew that we were losing Henry Cavill and Jason Momoa. And I feel like those were two that just nailed it when it came to their roles.
Yeah.
You know, there are always debates over like Ezra Miller and whatnot. Oh my gosh, Wonder Woman. I loved her as well.
Oh yeah, she's so good.
She killed it, yeah. I feel like unequivocally most fans like adore those movies. Anyways, yeah, sad to like kind of have like a recasting of most of these people, but love that he's coming back. And as Lobo is like super exciting because you're totally right. With some of the roles that he's been taking recently, he's definitely like shied away from maybe like the scary, dangerous, like that is kind of his characters in Game of Thrones and whatnot, and more like a crazy, right? A silly goofy sometimes. Like he just maybe has like a bit of a wider range. So I could see him being a Deadpool-esque character. Definitely not to the extent of Ryan Reynolds, but I'm super excited for that. Have they announced whether it's gonna be like a solo freestanding movie or whether they're gonna like throw him into a Superman?
Yeah, so he's confirmed to appear in the Supergirl movie that is currently being made. So it'll be exciting. I don't know what his role would be. It'd be very cool if it was a big role, though. That would be
yeah.
a really fun way to do it. And I think it's a good idea because if he is, even if he's a minor character, he could add quite a bit of difference from the Superman and Supergirl movie. Because while Kara and Superman both have their own differences that do make them unique, it'll be cool to have like that extra flavor of Lobo to differentiate for the masses, you know, what those movies can be.
Oh, precisely. Oh my gosh, I love that. And that feels a bit like a just a Robert Downey Jr. arc from
yes,
from hero to but recast as sort of the villain in a way.
Totally. It does. You're right. It kind of feels similar where it's like we're bringing back these superhero actors that we love and just putting them in different roles. Now with Marvel, it's a bit different because they're going to have to figure out a through line for that. But with this one, it's like, okay, cool. I'm with it, you know?
Right. It works very well.
It kind of makes you wonder, do you hope that like anyone else from the DCEU will be recast as someone?
Wonder Woman, man. I would love to see her again. I mean, it's possible they might just axe her as Wonder Woman and recast that. Because, yeah, they were talking about it being like a hard reset on the DC universe, which... Once again, they did something right, some things right, so it would be disappointing to see some people go, yeah, bittersweet. That is a great way to put it. I have a lot of mixed feelings about some of the people they put in there. I feel no love loss around, right, Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
Cyborg wasn't like a terrible actor, but maybe just because he didn't have his own movie, he felt more forgettable.
Yeah, I think the hard part is just trying to imagine those characters as someone different. I feel like... Maybe it's one of those things in hindsight, right, where it's like, oh, of course he would totally fit, right? And just like right now, we can't think about it too hard about other people, but it's a fun prospect that they're bringing him back, and I think it's good step, good choice, fun, familiar face. He's a very enjoyable actor.
Totally. Well, and I feel like having personally gotten so attached to Henry Cavill as Superman... But also seeing this new trailer and getting really hyped about recasting Henry for David. And the fact that I now feel excited for that, I didn't think that would ever happen. So I'm maybe optimistic that they might have to like run through new characters for Wonder Woman and Aquaman and stuff like that. Characters that I've, you know, gotten attached to. I could see them doing a good job with it. I feel like DC is most definitely on the upswing right now.
Definitely. I feel like there's a lot of hype, a lot of excitement around it. It seems like James Gunn loves interacting with fans via social media, which keeps people excited and hyped. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, so thanks for tuning in today, everybody. We just broke down episode 6 of Creature Commandos. We're looking forward to the finale next week and breaking that down some more. Very exciting. Lots of things happening. This has been a podcast on Infinite Earths. Appreciate you guys joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you.